Grief can be a paralyzing time, especially in the life of a young person. It can be so overwhelming that the griever is confused on how to move forward. Stay tuned to find out all about how to assist young people in the grieving process after loss, separation, or death. Welcome to Grandparenting Today. This is Sue Zimmerman. We're here in the Cromer Mashburn Family Studios at WMKV 89.3 FM and streaming on the internet at WMKVFM.org. My guest today is Tanya Kilgore, author of The Grief Recovery Kit, A Young Person's Guide Through the Journey of Grief. Tanya has a Bachelor of Science degree in Rehabilitation Studies and a Certificate of Master's degree in Holistic Nutrition. She currently works in the fitness industry. With only a minor in psychology, Tanya is neither a grief counselor nor an expert in the field. However, from personal loss, divorce, and the death of her beloved father, she has experienced and worked through grief of many kinds. Tanya lives with her husband and their two daughters in the Texas Hill Country. Her son is a Houston firefighter, and her oldest daughter and son-in-law also live in Texas. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you for having me.
Well, and you're blessed if you live near all your children. I think that's one of my biggest blessings, that the kids are married and I have grandchildren, but they're living near me, and so I get to enjoy that all the time.
I agree. That's probably the biggest blessing of my life right now. We actually moved to be closer to our children.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when the weather in Cincinnati, Ohio is, not the best, we talk about other places in the country that it would be better, but I can't move away from family, so...
I agree. That's the way. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm excited about this book of yours, The Grief Recovery Kit, A Young Person's Guide Through the Journey of Grief. It's an excellent book, and I'm glad that you'll be my guest today. Let's start our discussion with a little bit about your personal life and how that impacted and maybe influenced you in writing this book.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I didn't set out to write this grief recovery kit. Actually, it was through experience and actually necessity after the death of my father. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I was going to react the way that I did when he died. I was 44 years old. I knew that he was dying. He died of cancer, mm-hmm. and I was actually with him. So I thought that I had a handle on this. We discussed it, and I thought that I was going to be okay. But I actually plummeted into some depression. I lost a lot of time kind of just in the confusion and just being stagnant, not knowing where to go and how mm-hmm. to react next. Mm-hmm. I searched out every bit of help that I could. And I know that my four children, were also hurting just as much as I was. They were so close to him. And I looked for any kind of resources for them, and it was non-existent. I found plenty of books for me, but to tell you the truth, they were written over my head. I mean, I'm pretty well educated, but mm-hmm. in a time of grief, it was just too much for me to handle. And that's when I started pulling out of this grief and pulling out of this depression, that it came to me, I don't want anyone else, especially young people, to waste that time just stagnant, just stuck mm-hmm. in that dark place.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And I could tell from your book how special your father is, and that you'll see him again someday. And that doesn't necessarily feel good at the moment when you're just grieving so deeply. But that there is a comfort in that you know.
There
that,
is a comfort
yes.
in that. And actually, it's a huge comfort for me. Mm-hmm. That I know that this life didn't just cease
right.
to exist for him. I just don't get to see him anymore.
Yes.
I will
yes.
one day. And it does. It does bring me a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
And I also would like to reveal that to others, that there is huge comfort in that thought alone.
Mm-hmm. There is. And he wouldn't want to come back. I mean, heaven is too beautiful. And you know, we're allowed with some people's journey where they do come back to learn more about that, too. But tell me, this grief recovery kit, just give me a little highlight on, you sort of have it in sections. And I thought it'd be nice, since in this half an hour, we can never cover the huge amount that you have included in here that's so helpful to everyone.
Oh, sure. I really wanted it. The reason it's called a kit is because of those different components.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an activity book. There's four stories of different losses and lots of colorful photographs, actually over 130 photographs, because I wanted the young people, not just the children, but even the teenagers and young 20s, to be able to identify. So there's a lot of graphics and also photographs that I feel that will be appealing and will speak. The pictures will speak as much as the words. But there's also 40 activities to encourage that griever to participate, to work through. They're supporting one-line prayer with each activity, scriptures, and a quote that goes along with that. There's blank personal journal pages that I really encourage that each griever express through drawings, through poetry, through words, anything that they can in those pages to let their heart come out on the pages. Also, there's the ABCs for caregivers, and that is just a little bit of help for those of us who step back and watch our children or our young loved ones dealing with not just death, but all kinds of grief, and wondering what can we do. So I kind of set up some ABCs for caregivers, and you can actually also get that free download on the website. So I want to make sure that we let the listeners know about the website before we leave, because you can download that for free.
Let's do that right now, and we'll do it again.
Okay. It's www.griefrecoverykit.com. And like I said, there's a free download for the ABCs for the parents and caregivers of grievers. There's lots of information there that I think could be helpful. There's a grief recovery blog that I try to talk about all kinds of different griefs. Like I said, not just death. Death is major, but there's also so many other reasons that are causing so much pain in our young people today.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about that, and I definitely encourage anyone to go to the supernatural support page there that you can look and see where I have gotten my strength from personally.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, you listeners will just have to read the book to know what we're talking about today, because there's so much in this book. It's so comprehensive. And, you know, I've just felt like you've done a huge, beautiful job with this, Tanya.
Thank you so much. And the way it's written is, I know that when I was grieving in the depth of that grief, I didn't have a long attention span, snippets, little pieces is all I could handle. And so the book is actually full of information, but it's in tidbits that you can just open up and do one activity today or read one of the short stories. So there's nothing to completely overload you.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that will encourage participation. That will encourage those to open up and even speak to older people, friends, parents. I think it'll get the ball rolling. That was my hope and prayer, that this book will be the tool to get the ball rolling, to get the tool that will help get the healing started. It's not a quick fix, but it gets you talking. And when you face these things head on, they don't stay in the darkness. They don't stay in the back, to where they'll rear their head some other time farther down the road. I totally, totally believe that we need to deal with all this pain right now as it comes. I know that actually that's what caused the majority of my problem, was that I had other things, other painful issues in my life that were never fully dealt with. So when my father died, all of that
It was all there.
It was all compounded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I call neglected grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take care of all the grief in the world. I can't rid the world of grief. But I guarantee you, we can rid the world of neglected grief. It does not have to compound on us. and then explode or overwhelm us someday.
That's really a good point. Is that why you talk about in your book that it's so important to be proactive, seeking healing?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, we are human, and we tend to avoid pain. And as a parent or a caregiver or grandparent, we look at these children and we'll do anything to keep them from suffering. And that's where I really encourage the caregivers, no, in this situation, no, we have to allow the grief. It is painful, but if you don't allow that grief to come now, work through, ask questions, talk about it, you can totally work through that to where that healing occurs. Yes, life is different. Yes, there's still going to be the remnants of pain, but it'll never be as powerful negatively as that neglected grief would be.
Tanya, is it best to recognize that we'll never be over it, that we have to learn to live with our grief and move forward, or are we ever going to say, I'm over this?
Oh, that's a good question. You'll never be the same after going through any kind of grieving process. Experiencing any kind of hurtful situation is going to change you and your life, but it doesn't have to be negative. Yes, and especially if you've lost someone to death, that person's not going to be in your life anymore. That's mm-hmm. different. And you're always going to miss them. And that is to be recognized. You will always miss them. But there is healing, I believe, totally. And I know that my supernatural power, that God gave me that strength, and He healed my heart. He helped heal that heart. I don't cry as often as I did. This is just an example. But I do occasionally have tears.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, it is so fresh, it's so raw, that people really believe in that moment that life's always going to be that way. And it's not. There is hope for the future. And you don't forget. You don't act like these things have never happened. Sometimes things happen to us that are very painful, and we can learn from them, and we can also grow from them and actually help other people through that experience. We have to make the choice, though. It's a choice.
It
that
is.
I'm going to move forward in a positive attitude.
Yeah. In your ABCs, those are excellent for parents or caregivers of grievers. You asked three questions that I thought were important for the caregivers or the parents. And number one is, can I fix this? And because I know that a lot of times that's what we want to do, because we hurt so much for that child or that person that has that loss. And another one, what you write is, won't my child grow out of this? And the third one, will this go on forever? I probably shouldn't ask you three at once, but if you could give me what you feel like are good answers for those questions for caregivers.
Oh, absolutely. I reiterate again, as a caregiver and a parent, you say, can I fix this? I want to fix my child. We always want to fix our children and their problem. No. You cannot fix this, but you can be there to support that child no matter what age. It could be a grown child of yours that's going through this grieving process. You can't fix it, but you can be there to support and love and guide them. Absolutely, you're a part of it, but it is not in your control. This is between the person who's grieving and their higher power and their choices. You can only assist in that. And you say, well, will my child grow out of this? Don't think that if you just ignore this, it's going to go away. It will not go away. It may be hidden for a while. It's like when we sweep things under the rug and we think they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They still exist. They're under the rug, and you'll trip over them someday. So your child's not going to outgrow the pain. You need to just go through that pain with them right now. Let them experience it. It's hard to watch. I watched my children, too. It's hard to watch, but it's not forever. And I believe that's the next question that you asked me. Will this go on forever? No. When you're dealing with this grief and it's raw and it's head on, there's a lot of emotion and there's so much pain that you have to confront. That doesn't always exist. That amount of pain and that amount of emotion does not always exist. It does get better. You do experience healing, and the children experience healing. There is hope for that. Absolutely.
Well, and I think there is a point maybe where they don't feel hopeful, so that's really good to hear. If you've just tuned in to Grandparenting Today, I'm talking with Tanya Kilgore, and she's written a book with beautiful photography and a really wonderful, it's the Grief Recovery Kit, and it's a wonderful guide. It's a young person's guide through the journey of grief, but it would be for any age person who's grieving loss, separation, death. It's an excellent book, and her website is griefrecoverykit.com, and a lot of this you can learn about there. Is that a place to buy the book too, Tanya?
Yes, you can also
order it.
You can purchase the book online from the website and also from Amazon.com.
Okay, sure, that's great. Is there a right or wrong way to feel or react to grief?
There's never a right or wrong way. There are typical reactions that we normally see, or you may see in a list, in a book, or there's typical reactions, but don't feel that your child or even you have to fit in that particular list. The only thing that I do say is pay attention if something feels disturbing or reaction or behavior is alarming. Mm-hmm. If you feel the child is in danger, then at that point, don't hesitate to seek help.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So what about the kid who's running away or hiding from the grief? I think that's a natural reaction for all of us, and I know that sometimes it comes out in any person in overeating or probably starving themselves. I found through several situations that I just couldn't eat. I couldn't even look at food without feeling sick, but I know someone else said, oh, I've just gained 50 pounds since I lost my husband, or, you know, that kind of stress, or taking lots of trips just to avoid going through that grief. What do you say to them? Because it takes bravery.
It does take bravery, and it takes choices. I've said this before, that it's choices that you make, and you stand up and say, I will face this head on, because you have to know, and you have to even be told, mm-hmm. this will not go away. Mm-hmm. If you ignore it, it's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. It will only fester and gain strength. Mm-hmm. So let's do this together. That is exactly the reason I wrote this book. So a parent can walk up to a teenager or a young person or a child and say, I have this tool. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. We can either do it together, or you can take this to your room and look at it and let me know if you want to talk or if you have questions. Mm-hmm. It is a tool to get them started, and you must encourage them. Like I said, it's our natural reaction as a parent to not want to see them cry, to not want to see them hurt.
Right.
But basically I'm saying, yeah, you are going to cry. You are going to feel pain, because I want to be there to help you through it. And by experiencing it, we can go through. Now listen what I say, go through.
Mm-hmm.
See, that means that you are passing, you're walking, you're moving. You're actually in motion. You're never going to be stagnant. That's where that darkness and depression lies. Mm-hmm. Depression does not necessarily have anything to do with grief in motion. It's grief when
point.
It becomes stagnant.
Mm-hmm. I know that in a training I took, they said, you know, look at grief like a bucket of water, and you can drip it out, you can pour it out a little bit at a time, or you can dump a whole lot out. And they suggested everything you could think of, from picture albums to lots of talking and memories that with the close people that you're willing to be in pain with. And I thought that was so interesting, because they said when you're dropping it out drip by drip, it's just going to last so long, you know. And when you can really go, like you say, go through it and work through it and feel the pain and cry when you look at those pictures in that picture album, and almost intentionally bring yourself to the point where you experience the pain. I hadn't thought of it that way, not going through a loss like that. And when a friend of mine lost a neighbor, lost her daughter, she was 16, in a car accident. And a year later, I knew it was coming up, and she was saying, oh, I can't deal with this. It's going to be her anniversary of her death is coming. And I went around to the neighbors to say, would you like to share in helping with, some food and a card and all that? And one lady who probably has never experienced a loss said to me, well, for heaven's sakes, it's been a year. Can you tell me she's not over it yet? And I had never, personally experienced a loss, but I was close enough to this woman to see the kind of, not that I could empathize, but just to see the kind of pain and gut-wrenching sorrow that was happening in this family. And I went home, and I was really young, and my second one was like 6 months old. And I said to my husband, how would she think that you'd be over it in a year?
That is a common mistake that people make, and there is no time frame. I can't tell you that this process is going to take you a month. It could take you a year. It could take you 6 months. There is no time frame. It's an individual journey, but the whole key to this journey is to keep moving, and if your friend keeps moving, then her grief will become less and less. Mm-hmm. Will she ever be totally consoled that her daughter's not around? No, but she can put herself in and give that love to other people. I even talk about it in the book about the hole in the heart. Mm-hmm. When we lose a loved one, we are left with this hole in the heart, but there's so many things that we can do not to bring that person back.
Right.
But that love can be shared, and in return, it patches that hole. I know in the book, my daughters and I made this heart out of fabric, and we created this hole, and then underneath, you see the fabric pieces layered over that hole.
Mm-hmm.
The
I
hole
love
is
that.
Still there. The hole still
sure
exists.
It is.
But it's covered with those patches, and you are happy again. You can experience joy again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that sort of inhibited the going through the pain and the healing with this lady is the forgiveness issue. It was huge. And the person driving the car was, in a sense, going too fast and responsible. And the passenger was killed and the driver walked away, kind of thing. And I think it's been 42 years since that happened. So you know how old my son is. 41. And there's still not forgiveness. She wrote me, ill and everything. I'm still trying to forgive. And that made me almost cry, because that's so essential in the healing part. And I know you write about that.
Oh, I feel that unforgiveness may be the largest roadblock in the grief recovery process. I feel that strongly about
mm-hmm.
it. I know that in some other issues that didn't, necessarily relate to death, but other issues in my life, I held unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, for those 20 years that I held that, they came out at my dad's death, had nothing mm-hmm. to do with my dad's death. But those things that we hold unforgiveness for only fill our own hearts, our own soul with those toxins, and they're not doing us any good. They're so destructive. And I totally believe that we have to release those. And I even talk about releasing them and using different methods of trying to release those. And I totally believe ultimately you have to just reach out and say, God, help me with this.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it alone.
It is so incredibly hard, because there's this idea that if I forgive, then that makes it okay. And
right.
I'm
it lets them off the hook.
That wrongdoing.
Yeah. Yeah, it lets them off the hook. And
it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't at all. But that is something that we tend to hang on to, a common mistake, a common detrimental mistake. It is something that has to be done, and I know that it can't be done immediately in the first phases, in that first raw time of grief, But there does come a time for you to progress into healing. Forgiveness has to occur.
Yeah, and there's things in our lives, you know, it may not be death, it may be something else, but one time at our food pantry where I work, I had opened in prayer and for some reason felt like I needed to pray about forgiveness, and a lady took me aside afterwards and said, well, my son was murdered when he was 19 by a stray bullet that also killed a six-year-old girl at a bus stop. And she looked at me with her eyes just burning, and she said, I cannot forgive this man. He's in prison, but I cannot forgive him. And I almost started to cry because that's huge. And I gave her a hug, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And you know, I just know that that woman needs to do that, but it's, you know, it's huge for that kind of thing. So that's,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what
unforgiveness
you need.
Is a prison of sorts. It's a very
yes.
strong prison, and you have to release yourself. You're not releasing the other person. Mm-hmm. You have to release yourself
yeah.
from that prison. It's setting the captives free, and you're the captive.
Mm-hmm.
You are
Keeps
the
you
one
captive.
That is being held back
yeah.
from joy
yeah.
and peace
yeah.
when you hold on to that unforgiveness.
Right.
I know. I've been there. I've
yes.
done it for many, many years.
And it grows
years.
Bitterness, too. Tanya, we just have a couple minutes left, and I am going to ask you something I don't usually ask people, but guests, but I would like to know if you would come back at another time, and I will contact you later and ask you that we could finish this interview. I have so many things I feel are important for us to talk about that are in your book. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I would love to. Yes.
Okay, super. Then in this last minute, let me again tell our listeners in this first half of our interview, the book is The Grief Recovery Kit, A Young Person's Guide Through the Journey of Grief. And the author is Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, Kilgore. And her website is griefrecoverykit.com. And I will be having Tanya on for the second half of our interview. And I appreciate that you would spend that time again with me.
Thank you so much, Sue, for having me.
Okay. Well, thank you for being my guest today. And we'll all look forward to continuing this discussion.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to all our listeners on Grandparenting Today. And we'll see you again next week.